Turn this evening to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And I do want to speak tonight on the subject, the skeleton key of faith. Brother Bruce and I have been on this subject now for several weeks, and I was shuffled back in to do it this evening since I'll not be, thank you, Brother Jim, since I will not be here next Wednesday. Appreciate Brother Bruce working it out. And so I wanted to stay with our basic topic theme as we deal with faith. Now tonight we're going to be looking at chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3, and we're calling this the skeleton key of faith, and I'll clarify that title as we get into it in just a few moments. But with your Bibles open, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And you'll notice that particular verse. You may want to even underscore the word faith in that verse and how that ties in with the word that is preached. Then look at verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And then verse 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I started to use the title tonight, The Rest of Faith, but then as I worked on my message, since I want to make other points as well on the subject of faith, and maybe in different ways, I thought I needed to expand a little bit and just call it the skeleton key of faith. So let's pray right now. Father, thank you this evening for the opportunity to be here again in this church service and to have a part in it. And I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that you would bless now the ministry of your precious word as it goes forth. We know the pastor has mentioned some names on our prayer list tonight, and Lord, we would echo our prayer for those folks as well as all of those that are in the church that are praying for the people as well. Now, Lord, would you bless us, meet with us now at this hour, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I come from a time that skeleton keys were used quite often in most of the homes in the area where I was raised. Many people today, if you say something about a skeleton key, they don't even know what you're talking about. But how many of you can remember a skeleton key? You used it in your house? My goodness, just about everyone. So I'm on a familiar subject after all. But anyway, back in the day, the skeleton key was designed to just basically, it would cover just about any door lock on the house. And besides, back in the day, there were not too many issues of break-ins, so a person was relatively safe anyway, just having a simple form of locking the door. In fact, I come from an area where people didn't even lock the door many, many times. But the skeleton key. Now, a skeleton key, in fact, I got a little bit interested again in why it was called a skeleton key. And I did some brief research on what a skeleton key was, though I handled one many times when I was, you know, a young person. It was basically also considered to be a pass key. It was also considered to be a master key because that one key was used on several doors. And there were no serrated edges in the old skeleton key. And in fact, it was called a skeleton key because basically that key was so simple, it was reduced to its essential parts. When you think of a skeleton, you know, the body has been reduced to the essential part of just the skeletal bone system of the body. And so the skeleton key was called that for that reason. Someone humorously said, they said, in this day and time, with all of the key locks and all of the door locks and all the security systems, that the average home has on their door, if success ever knocked on a person's door in this day and time, by the time you cut off the security of the door, and by the time you unlock all of the locks that are on the door, the bolt locks and so forth, then success will have already left. And so I guess there's some truth to that, to that particular point. Now, the days of skeleton keys are obviously over, and now we've become more security sensitive than ever, of course. But you know, back in those days too, not only were there skeleton keys, I remember not only the skeleton keys, but I remember the humor being many times the old simple knock-knock jokes. Y'all remember those too. So a lot of things, it seemed, used to go with that era. You know, can you all remember some of those knock-knock jokes? Not that I'm getting off my subject here too much, but just it doesn't hurt to throw in a little humor a little while every now and then to, you know, maybe get people to loosen up a tad. But I remember one when I was a kid. It was knock-knock, who's there? The answer was tank. Tank, you know, T-A-N-K. Then tank who? Well, the answer is you're welcome. That's just an example. Y'all remember those knock-knock jokes. But now this evening, let me get serious for the remaining time. Faith is in many ways like a master key. Faith is used in so many ways in the Christian life, as we've mentioned many times. It's a master key. And I want to just throw out a few simple reasons today or this evening why I would be saying that. How is faith such a master key? How is it that it can open so many doors? Or maybe a better question might be, what doors does this master key open? How important is the master key of faith? Well, I'll begin tonight by mentioning this. The key of faith, the master key, the skeleton key of faith, number one, it fits the door of promise. It fits the door of promise. The door of God's promises is appropriated by faith. There are many promises in God's Word, as we know. So the key of faith opens up or appropriates God's promises. It opens the door of God's promises. It opens the door to God's promises in many ways. We could break that down just a little bit tonight as we, of course, we're in a teaching mode, obviously, on Wednesday night anyway, so you don't mind me, you know, throwing some verses, several verses in as we go. But the key of faith, the master key of faith, opens a door to knowing the answer to not only many questions in the Bible, but to promises as well. What about Romans 8? What about that great chapter, Romans chapter 8? There are three questions that are asked in Romans 8. And the key of faith helps to open that door of that great chapter in terms of the answer. One question in verse 33 of Romans chapter 8 is this: who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Then the answer is given: it is God that justifieth. So with the key of faith, the question is, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Through faith, we can answer, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. No one. Faith enables us to know that. To know that God's people are not going to be charged because Jesus took care of the charges himself. Then, in Romans chapter 8, who is he that condemneth? Using the master key, the skeleton key of faith, we can answer by saying no one. Because again, we know the condemnation, by faith we know this, the condemnation fell on the person of our substitute. So who is he that condemneth? No one can condemn us because we're justified. Then verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Through faith, we know the answer to that. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If I am bumbling around in unbelief, then I may find myself thinking that I'm not loved, that God doesn't really care for me. But with the key of faith, I understand nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. So you see, we can turn that master key of faith in those three doors. I heard that there's an unusual animal that's found over in Africa. It's the African impala. And I've been told that that particular animal can jump 10 feet. 10 feet. The African impala. But yet those same magnificent animals are caged in zoos and kept in an enclosure many, many times, with a 3-foot wall. And the nature of the African impala is that they won't jump. They will not jump unless they can see where their feet will fall. That's their nature. And you know, looking tonight at faith, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see and not jump ahead of God. But through faith, we also understand that when we jump, that our feet will still be landed solidly on God's promises. So the key, the skeleton key, it opens, it fits that door, opening God's promises. Number two, the key of faith fits the door of beneficial hearing. I read verse 2. You remember what it said, verse 2. It opens the door of beneficial hearing of the word. Look at verse 2 with me again, please. Says the word preached did not profit them. Notice this, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So look at that now for just a moment. When the word is given, when the word is preached, it can prove to be unprofitable if it's not listened to by faith. You see, like a preaching service is more than just a hearing exercise. If we're exercising faith in what is being preached, then the word will profit us. We're going to go out of the service not with simply a better knowledge of the Word of God. We're going to go out with the attitude, now I'm going to take that Word and let that apply and help me in my life. You see, preaching services are not idle exercises. We exercise faith. Brother Bruce and I have mentioned time and time again that every aspect of the Christian life must have the mixture of faith to be profitable. And then that verse actually says, not being mixed with faith. It uses the word mixed. So every aspect of the Christian life must have the mixture of faith to be profitable. Hearing the word must have that mixture. Mixed with faith. We listen by faith. We listen with faith. We listen trusting God to take what is being given and help us to utilize that in our lives. So there's that mixture. Now, this past weekend, we witnessed how good mixture, how important it is, didn't we? The meals that were served in the sunrise service, the breakfast. I don't know about you, but I thought everything was mixed right. It sure did taste good, didn't it? You know, you hear about people making things from scratch, like, you know, making biscuits from scratch or so forth. But you know, you can make, using the example here of a biscuit, you can make a biscuit by scratch, but there are certain key elements that you must not leave out. In fact, the key element of making a biscuit, even if it's done by scratch, is flour. You've got to have flour. That's a key ingredient. Now, talking about homemade bread, when I was a kid, all we had was homemade bread. We didn't have store-bought bread. In fact, I grew up on just homemade bread, homemade biscuits, cornbread, all that good stuff. And in fact, when we had a loaf of store-bought bread in the home, it was a treat to us. Because all we got was just homemade bread. But yet we were eating the best the whole time and didn't realize it. But now it's harder to get some good homemade bread made. Now, somebody gave me that last week some homemade cornbread, and I'm going to tell you one thing. It was made good. Homemade, but there's a mixture. There are certain ingredients, though, that are so important. And I believe tonight that faith, and I'll put it like this, faith to Christian service is what flour is to bread. It's that critical. Faith to Christian service is what flour is to bread. Hearing without faith can be an idle exercise. We need to ask God every time we're exposed to the truth, Lord, help me to hear and to exercise faith and then to take what is given and it become profitable to me. Otherwise, it can be unprofitable. Then thirdly, let me hurry. The master key of faith fits the door of the rest of faith. It fits the door of the rest of faith. That's in the context. Verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. But notice, he which have believed do enter rest. So the point is, faith fits the door of the rest of faith. You look around today, you look at the turbulence you see in people's lives. And I'm talking about many Christians. You look at the turbulence. You see many Christians worrying. You see them panicking. You see them not being able to sleep. You see some offended often. You see, in other words, you see unrest in the lives of many people that are Christians. But you see, the issue is tonight, and I believe we can see it here, is that through faith, it opens the door of the rest of faith. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. When I am faithless, I try to work things out on my own. I stumble and bumble around and try to make things work out or whatever. Or I get ahead of God or many other, there are many other problems with that. But when I can just rest, trust God, believe that he literally meant what he said, and he will do what he said, and he's who he says he is. When I, through faith, can appropriate that truth, then I'm no longer restless. I'm no longer panicking. I'm no longer fearful. I'm no longer in that state of mind, because faith opens the door of the rest of faith, the master key of faith. Here's a good verse to think about. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. So you see, there's a connection with rest in the matter of faith. So the learning of him, as the verse there mentions, is restful, and it requires faith. You know, learning of him is a faith exercise too. Somebody put it like this. Now, I'm a little bit worried about something tonight. We had two or three people looking at that clock back there. As far as I know, it may have already stopped. I guess I could look at my own. I'm still good, right, Brother Bruce? We go to quarter till. Okay. So that's kind of got me a little nervous. Now, it is losing some time, though. Maybe. Well, okay, let me get back on point here. Somebody put it like this. They said little faith, think about this statement, little faith brings a soul to heaven. All right, you know all it takes to get to heaven? Simple faith in Christ's finished work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. An infant in Christ still goes to heaven. Simple faith. So they said that little faith, the quote was, little faith brings a soul to heaven, but great, great faith brings heaven to the soul. Great faith. The point being is while we're living upon this earth with all of its problems, if we can be men and women of faith, then heaven comes down and glory fills our soul. We can live in victory. We can live in joy. We can live with peace of mind. But it's a faith thing. An old Puritan said one time, he said that heaven's in him even before he's going to go to heaven. Heaven's already in him. So faith is what we're talking about. Here's a point. The Bible says we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So if I can take that truth by faith, then I've got to understand then that if I'm already seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, it is positive then that I'm going to go there. And that's peace of mind. That's peace of mind. But you know, many times we're like the little boy who was receiving Christmas. Their Christmas gifts were given out. He was at a Christmas party or something, and Christmas gifts were given out. And I heard this story. And this little boy's name was called because someone had him a gift. And the little boy never responded. Someone kept calling his name, but he never responded. Someone said, "He means you, Jimmy." But you know the problem with little Jimmy? Jimmy was not used to receiving gifts. So therefore, he never responded when his name was called. We need to understand tonight that God's people have every right to expect to keep on receiving gifts. God promises to give us gifts. He promises to bless us. So we need to live that. We need to live with expectancy that God will keep blessing us. Not like little Jimmy, who wasn't used to receiving presents. We should be used to it. We, by faith, can expect to receive good things. We're saved by grace through faith, and we walk by faith. Then I want to mention the fourth thing tonight. The master key, the skeleton key of faith, it unlocks the key of Christian growth. It unlocks the key of Christian growth. Genuine relationship with Jesus Christ is established by faith. We will never do much growing in the Lord unless we're exercising faith as we go. It is a faith exercise. These Christians here that were being addressed in the book of Hebrews, they were stagnated, they were lacking faith. Now, you could take this passage if you wanted to really get into context, and I will briefly touch on that. It refers to Israel of old. Israel missed the rest of Canaan. You know, that's what this, how it teaches out. Israel missed the rest of Canaan. They failed to go into the rest because of unbelief, with exception of Joshua and Caleb, of course. They rejected the word of the spies. So they missed the rest of Canaan through unbelief. You and I miss the rest of faith in unbelief. Their hearing did not have the mixture of faith. It says the word preached did not profit them. Their hearing did not have the mixture of faith. It didn't profit them. They were not looking to Jesus. They were still looking to Moses. Their eyes were still on the law. The law of faith, the life of faith is a life of victory, realizing we really don't fight. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. You go back and look at Israel, their wilderness university that they were in. When they went through the wilderness, The university, they flunked one seminar after the other, Israel did. They had all kinds of lessons. They were taught to trust God, but they didn't. They kept flunking out. If you study that out, you'll find out that the great lessons on the goodness of God, they obviously didn't take it in by faith. God's provisions, the lessons from the types, Israel wasn't learning a whole lot. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God gave them manna out of heaven. They were blessed time and time again, but they kept flunking the seminars on faith to learning to trust God in the wilderness. They kept flunking out. What a tragedy. You know, it's like hearing a sermon on the sufficiency of God's grace, but yet floundering on unbelief. This church has preached many, many sermons on the grace of God, many sermons on faith, many sermons on the goodness of the Lord. But what we have to do at some point in time is we have to let faith accept those messages and grow in the Lord as a result of it. You know, it hurts our effectiveness when we're not trusting God. It hurts our effectiveness. It makes us miserable. It gets us into trouble. I mean, God is capable. Through faith we see this. He is capable of not only bringing us out, but taking us in. God led Israel out of Egypt, but also God's plan was to take them into Canaan. But they flunked, didn't they? What a tragedy. Unbelief keeps a person from salvation, and then it keeps a Christian from claiming all we have in Christ. It's like the child that fell out of bed. The mother asked the child the next morning, "Why did you fall out of bed?" He said, "Mama, because I must have slept too close to where I got in." Many times that's the way we are. We don't get in far enough. We're saved, but we don't get in far enough. We don't exercise faith enough. And then finally tonight, I've got 2 minutes to get this said. The master key of faith opens the door of looking unto Jesus. Of looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It opens the door of looking unto Jesus. Through faith, we keep on celebrating, in other words. We don't just celebrate his resurrection, which we did here last Sunday. But with faith, we celebrate his ascension. We keep on looking unto Jesus. And when we keep looking to Jesus, we're looking to the one who's on the throne, don't we? And so it opens a door of looking unto Jesus. And so tonight I'm going to end it with that. But faith is truly the skeleton master key of so many doors that will open in the Christian life and make us more Christ-like. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, and I pray that you'll use it this evening to help us all to be men and women of faith, we who know the Lord. If there happens to be anyone listening right now that cannot remember a time that they placed their trust in the Savior's finished work and were saved, I pray that right now they might believe on the Lord Jesus, as the Bible says, and the Bible promises they will be saved. Trust Him to be their Savior. Now, Lord, bless the remaining part of the service as the pastor comes and we have the prayer time and so forth. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.